Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to be in verse 19 down to verse 23. But before we look at that, I want to read something out of Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 20, to kind of prime the pump and get us kick-started. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb and with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held by him in his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now that where they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported the chief priest all the things that have happened. And when they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and to the mountain Jesus appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Amen." The thing that the Lord's just really laid on my heart these past few weeks is for us to once again just really be kindled, that our hearts would be kindled to this incredible gift that the Lord has given us. I don't know about you. It's easy to just kind of go through life and phone it in, is it not? One day kind of bleeds into another. The next day kind of bleeds into another. You know, maybe for some of you college kids, it's, "Well, I've got this. This is my class schedule. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. Man, I can't wait for the summer because, A, I might get a job, or I might go on a mission trip, or you know what, I might just lay up and do nothing," which sounds like not a bad thing. For us that are a little older, and some of us who have jobs and different responsibilities, marriages and family, it's very easy to fall in that same kind of rut. It's very easy to fall in those same type of situations where maybe you don't have those expectations. But see, the thing the Lord has laid upon my heart for all of us who are here today is to once again grasp to the fact that Christ has been resurrected, that Christ is coming back one day, that we are going to get to spend eternity. Eternity. It's been described, you can describe eternity as a bird getting a little bit of grain of sand down there by the Pacific, okay, and then taking that little grain of sand and dropping it over here. You know how long that would take? Forever. It's a long time. Man, my life has gone so fast before my eyes. I'm going to be 43 in a few weeks. It's hard to believe. Man, I can remember. Yeah, you get Fred's like, "I'm older than you. I've got boots older than you." And you know, hey, guess what? This side of the room, I got boots older than you. I used to couldn't say that. But my life has gone by so quickly. And I feel like I phoned much of my life in. I got saved in 1995, and the Lord definitely gave me a new purpose. But man, it takes a long time to really get to that point in our walk where we're going to pick up a cross, deny self, and run hard after the Lord. The reality today, if you're saved, is you've been cleansed, you've been washed, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, we've been given eternal life, we've been given everything. But here's the thing that the Lord wants us to just grab a hold of. We've been given everything to do something with it. I love to watch 30 for 30 on ESPN. Some of you may watch it, some of you may not. It's a sport documentary show. And I'm always intrigued by different athletes who made the most of what they were given. Some athletes do not. I can think of one wide receiver who claimed that he was the greatest receiver of all time, probably the most talented. But I can tell you the greatest receiver of all time would have to be Jerry Rice, because he made the most with what he had. And for some of us today, are we making the most with what the Lord has given us? Or are we living our life for His kingdom and for His glory? Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 through 39 says this, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it." Real joy, real freedom in Christ will always be in laying down our lives for Christ, sharing the good news, making disciples for Christ, building up the body of Christ, not tearing the body of Christ down. See, we've been looking these past few weeks at Paul's life, been looking at what it looks like to really lay down our rights, lay down our liberty, and say, you know what's more important right now? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, His agenda, and what He's wanting to do right now. Paul, in chapters 8 and 10 of the book of Corinthians, has been encouraging these guys, don't make your life necessarily about your rights. Because see, in chapter 8, what we had going on in the church of Corinth is one group was, okay, can we eat this meat sacrificed to idols? The other group, they were like, okay, eating this meat sacrificed to idols. And here's the thing. It was a good choice of meat. It was sold at a cheap price in what was called shambles. See, a portion of the meat would be given to the priest. A portion of the meat would be given to the idols. The priest would usually take their portion to turn to profit and sell it to these shambles. And you'd get a good choice of meat. Some folks didn't have an issue with it. Some folks did. And what Paul was trying to do, and using an illustration of the whole meat situation, was, I want you to understand something. Yes, you've been given liberty. Yes, you have certain rights. But there's something more important, the cause of Christ. And he finishes that chapter up and says, you know what, I won't even eat any meat if it's going to cause a brother to stumble. In chapter 9, what we've been looking at is, he didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk, and he practiced what he preached. And that's just where we're at this morning. And I pray we just grab a hold of this. It's a wonderful picture of laying our lives down for Christ, going forward with Christ, making our lives about the extension of His kingdom, making disciples for Christ. It sounds exciting and wonderful until I found I'm all for that. Man, that is so exciting. Until, you know what, I'm thrust in some unsavory circumstances. And then I'm like, man, this stinks. Okay, guys, someone asked you a question. Guys, not gals. Because you're not going to get this, but the guys will. Who in here always wants to be the hero of the movie? If you're a dude, don't lie. Come on, put your hands up. You're in the back. Okay. You're in the backyard. You're playing catch or you're doing whatever. It's the World Series. And what are you? You're up the bat. The bases are loaded. And are you going to strike out? No. Thank you. Someone's telling the truth. Man, I know I would. Actually, I played one year of Little League, and I was the leadoff man because I was this tall. No one could hit my strike zone. True story. And you're laughing. Okay, that's fine. Here's the thing. Sometimes in our approach to serving the Lord, sometimes in our approach of going forward with His will, sometimes we have that same mentality. Man, I'm going to come in on a white horse, and I'm going to save the day. And they're going to go, who was that masked man? And we forget that our Lord Jesus Christ came in what? Riding on a lowly donkey. Didn't come in on a big white stallion as a conquering king. But He came in as a lamb that was going to lay down His life. So here's what happens. They start questioning Paul on different things. And we looked at the fact they questioned whether or not he was an apostle. And understand, this was a church that he planted. And Paul says, am I not an apostle? I mean, are you not the work of my hands? I mean, the proof is in the pudding. The Lord sent me to Corinth, and is there not a church there now? And then not only that, if you remember, they had a problem giving support. they had a problem getting support to Paul and Barnabas, but not to other guys. And then Paul kind of works down his defense because he feels like he's on trial. But understand, he's using this to make a point of something greater. Okay, not necessarily what the right thing was to do, but what is right. And he says, do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, as also the other apostles, the brothers, the Lord supplies? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have to refrain from working? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it's written in the law of Moses, you should not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain. It's oxen God concerned about? Or does he say it all together? For your sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of that hope. If we sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing we should reap material things? If others and partakers of this right over you. Paul builds his case why he had the right to receive support for his ministry through these examples. Having an apostle's authority, human logic, Old Testament law, present custom, and Old Testament community. And what Jesus had to say as well, a worker is worthy of his wages. But remember, the case that Paul is building is only the point to truly who was important, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is important is the extension of his kingdom. Paul's philosophy was this, and we're going to look at this here in a minute. You know what? If I receive support and it helps with the furtherance of the gospel, praise God. If I do not receive support and helps with the furtherance of the gospel, then praise God. That was his heart. Think about that just for a minute. Paul said this, why he chose not to demand anything. This is what he said. Nevertheless, I have not used this right, but to endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. He didn't want to hinder it. Think about that for a moment. Let that just settle on our hearts just for a moment. The gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who holds back good news if they have it? Does that make sense? Man, are you going to be bummed out if I have good news for you? Let's say that I know that you bought a lottery ticket, which I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but that's your thing, okay? Some of you are like, does he know that really? I mean, I don't really care. That's your thing. I don't know if you did or if you didn't. But suppose that I knew that that lottery ticket was a winning lottery ticket and you were about to throw it away. Would you not be totally bummed out that I said, hey, you know, that's the winning ticket? It'd be good news, wouldn't it? The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I don't want to hinder the gospel. My goal, my objective in life is to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And really what we're looking at here, and you remember the backdrop of this whole chapter, and what we just kind of been trying to grab our hearts a hold of is Philippians chapter 2, that our Lord Jesus Christ himself made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, to the point of death. To death. Paul said this in his epistle to the Romans, Romans 1, 16 through 17. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. One more thing we need to think about as we're just kind of grab our hearts a hold of this thing is that once someone's eyes are open to, I have my eyes closed. Once someone's eyes are open to the gospel and they get saved, their life is instantaneously changed. We may not see it on the outside, but they've been given a new identity in Christ. Instantly. And so many times, what do? We're like, man, that's a hopeless case. That's a hopeless cause. And the Lord says, no, do you not realize I brought that person into your life to share the good news? Take a step back away from yourself. Eternity right there for this person. You know, we had a wonderful time Friday night of just praying and enjoying the Lord. And the thing that the Lord just really burdened my heart with is, for the folks that are going to come and to a service on Easter service, but they don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. and that the Lord would open eyes and unstop ears and just see that there is a need for salvation. A need for salvation. All that said, let's remember who we're celebrating today, our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we've been given the gospel of the day, the good news of Jesus Christ, and we don't keep good news to ourselves. We share it with others. Let our hearts be geared like Paul's. I'm willing to lay down my life so that the gospel will not be hindered. Here's one of my favorite hymns. Just a few lines. There's a fountain. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood and lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day, and there may I, vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, the precious blood should never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Since by faith I saw the stream that flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. We're blessed. We're blessed. Let's do something with it. Let's do something with it. I shared last week, and then we're going to dive into where we're at, that my ex-brother-in-law, who's the same age as me, and we grew up together. We grew up riding bikes together. We grew up playing backyard football, baseball, going around and exploring woods, working on cars. I mean, we were very good friends. He ended up marrying my sister. Let's just make that story short. It didn't really work out. They stayed together for 19 years, and it just never really worked out. They have a son who's about 8 years old, and the only thing he knows about his dad is his different substance abuse problems. That's all he knows about his dad. He doesn't know that his dad was in the who's who when he was in high school. He doesn't know that his dad was in the top 10 of his class in high school. He doesn't know that his dad had aspirations of being an architect one day when he was in high school. He doesn't know that his dad was a pretty good football player and a pretty good baseball player. He doesn't know that his dad enjoyed to read. He knows none of these things about his dad. All he knows about his dad is right now his dad's messed up. I remember when his dad got baptized, I was there. He got baptized with another friend of mine named Brad Hughes. And I look at his life and I just see a life that has been robbed. And it just breaks my heart. And I've shared the Lord with him several times. And he believes he's a believer. All evidence points maybe he's not. I don't know. But if he would just shut the lies out and grab a hold of the Lord, his life could be changed instantly. Good news. So let's look at this. Serving all men. For though I am free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. For I'm free from all men. Paul says, the most important thing for me to do is bringing folks to Jesus. The most important thing for me to do is serving all men, not just the ones that he liked. And think about that just for a minute. It's easy to serve folks that we like, is it not? But is it not harder to serve folks that necessarily we don't like? I mean, all means all, does it not? I serve all men. For though I am free, though I have freedom from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. In other words, there was a point in Paul's life where something clicked, something changed, and he said, you know what? Man, I am going to serve. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to dial this thing in. I'm not going to phone it in. I'm going to dig down, I'm going to plunge myself into this thing, and I'm going to run with it, and I'm going to serve all. I'm going to take a step back away from myself. Paul's heart was like Jesus' heart. He girded a towel, and he washed some feet, but he even washed feet that were kicking him in the rear. It's amazing. John chapter 13, verse 12 through 17. So when he washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as has been done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant's not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than him who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are if you do these things." And it does take the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to really want to wash those feet that are not necessarily, well, I mean, let's face it, some feet really got some corns on them. Some feet have some toe jams up under their toenails, and some feet just really stink. All feet. All men. I've been reading an awesome book by Charles Swindoll, and it's about people in the Scriptures that were just kind of not noticed, but the Lord did an incredible work in his life. And basically what he called these people were high-impact people, okay, who really had a high impact on people around them. And there was like four traits, and I want to share this with you. Number one was a selfless devotion. High-impact people don't care who gets the credit. They never complain about the role they fill. You remember what Paul said, I don't care if I'm watering or if I'm planting. It's just as long as something's growing and the Lord's working. Number two, they're mission-focused. High-impact people focus on the right objectives. Don't waste time pursuing things that do not matter. In other words, they don't major in the minors. They major in the major. What's the most important thing that needs to be done here? That Christ is exalted. That the good news is shared. That I'm not going to hinder this thing. Number three, high-impact people have a harmonious manner. People set aside petty differences and nurture harmony with others to achieve the greater good. Really, think of some of the things that we just carry around. Now, I'm being very gentle on this thing because I know that some wounds are very, very deep and they're hurting. But I'm just talking the norm, the run-of-the-mill petty stuff that we just won't let go of. Just look the other way. Charles Spurgeon, in his book, a lecture to his students, and says, you know, you got to have a blind eye and a deaf ear to some things. Look the other way. It doesn't matter. What's important? What's important? What? How many of us have lost sleep over some dumb thing that's been said? How many of us spent way too much time meditating on some dumb thing that's been said? I mean, did it get us anywhere but irritated and mad and frustrated? Petty stuff. And finally, number four, a contagious joy. High-impact people inspire humility and unity in others, a combination that translates into joy. Warren Wiersbe said this about ministry. Christian ministry is about fighting a war, caring for a vineyard, tending a flock, and cultivating a field. Meditate on these things and see what it'll teach you about serving the Lord. Paul's heart was simply geared, you know what, I'm going to serve all men. I'm going to serve all men because you know why? The Lord did this incredible work in my life, and why not lay it all down? We were here Friday night, and Joan really likes flowers. I like stuff I can eat. So when I plant something, it's something I can eat, okay? But Joan likes flowers, and she's got a bunch of different flowers in her yard and this and all this other stuff. And she showed me this picture of this, what was it, Louisiana what? Louisiana iris. I've never seen one before. Okay, it's this green thing. It's got this purple thing. It's a beautiful flower. But here's the thing. She said it's just been this green thing for like, what, 3 years, and she's been tending it for, you been here that long? Just seems like 5 minutes holding your breath underwater, doesn't it? Some of you caught that, some of you didn't. But anyway, here's the thing. She's been tending this thing for 4 years, weeding it, loosening up the soil, watering it, taking care of it, and then 4 years later, it finally bloomed. How many folks in our life, if we just had the heart of serving all men, would that kind of take place? The Lord could use us in that manner. That's what the Lord spoke to me. I mean, we give up way too quick sometimes. And how patient is the Lord with all of us? Incredibly patient. You know, I get so sometimes impatient with my 2-year-old because he's just nonstop. I mean, it's like a record that won't skip. I mean, just there. It's just boom. Asking the same question. No. Asking the same question. You know what? I get such a great picture of what I must be sometimes to the Lord. And he doesn't get impatient with me. Serve all men. And here's what it looks like to serve all men. Look at verse 20 through 23. And to the Jews I became a Jew that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are being without the law, not being without the law towards God, but under the law towards Christ. And I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became the weak, that I might win the weak. I became all things to all men, that by some means I might save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. To the Jews I became a Jew, The purpose was to build a bridge to share the gospel. If you look through the book of Acts, every time Paul went into a city, the first place he went was in a synagogue, because it broke his heart to see his people missing the Messiah. And that's the first place he went. And normally, you know what happened? He got kicked in the face. That's what happened. But it never kept Paul from reaching out to those folks. Matter of fact, in Acts 16, verse 3, listen to what he wanted Timothy to do. Paul wanted him to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because the Jews were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to come along, but here's something you need to do first. Let's not let this get in the way. It's about the gospel. And Timothy was like, you know what? Okay, big deal. Let's go for it. Paul did not flaunt his liberty to the Jews. Instead, you know what? He kept it on the down low. Verse 21. To those who are without the law, the Gentiles. Paul said this about Paul and his ministry to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles, he behaved himself as he had been a Gentile, that he forbade the observance of Levitical law, to which the Gentiles never had an obligation at all. In other words, just to sum this up, Paul didn't push the law on these guys. He didn't push it. What did he do? He pointed people to Christ. That's what he did. And you look at this, section, serving all men, there's something that has to take place. There has to be a willingness to humble oneself. You know, I got to be honest with you. Most of the time, I don't want to the Jews. I don't want to become a Jew. You know what? I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. Paul sought to win people to Christ by being sensitive to their needs and identifying with them. To the weak, I became the weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I, by all means I might save some. And just let that last little part, that I might save some, fall on our hearts. Because here's the thing. Everybody has a final destination. Okay? For those who are in Christ, they get to go be with Christ. For those who are without Christ, you know the rest of the story. Eternity's a long time. I think about my mom and dad, and I think eternity's a long time. I don't believe they know the Lord. It breaks my heart. And what do? You share the good news, you pray, and you're just like, Lord, they're pushing 60-something. It's a long time. It's heartbreaking. That person in Walmart who may be getting on our nerves because they go to the self-checkout with 50 items. We're thinking that's eternity. And you know for sure they don't have a computer at home because they don't know how to operate the equipment. I mean, seriously. That person may not know the Lord. Hell's a real place. It's a real place. By all means, to save some. There was a guy, you guys may be familiar with him, and if you get a chance, read his biography. His name is Hudson Taylor. Dude went to China. Okay, and here's what happened. Wasn't having a whole lot of luck. All right, you know what he did? He decided to grow a ponytail. He decided to put on some China and his clothes and then share the good news. And then people were open to him. I'm thinking, you seen those pigtails? I'm thinking, I don't want to rock that. You seen that outfit? It looks cool on Bruce Lee. Thinking, I don't want to rock that. How many of us would wear a tie if we had something against a tie? What if that was the deal? I'm not going to do that. It's like those guys, when I was in athletics in the 80s, you had to keep your hair above your ears. No earring. That was part of the gig. If you want to be on the team, that's what you have to do. Hair grows back. And some guys would quit because I'm not cutting my hair. Dude, first of all, it's a mullet. It wasn't cool then. It's definitely not cool now. Wouldn't do it. Quit. Man, Paul's like, you know what? I've been so impacted by Christ and what He's given me. Then you know what? I'll become weak. I'll do whatever I have to do to share the good news. If I've got to work with my hands when I'm in Corinth and make tents, I'm okay doing that, slaving it all day to share the good news. You know what? Even if you guys don't really appreciate my ministry, I'm here to share the good news. I know that instantly something could take place in your life and you could be changed. Paul's heart on the matter was simply this. It's about Jesus. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. John Corson said this so well, I just have to share it. Paul gave up his rights in ministry. He blended in with the Jews and Gentiles in humility because rather than be an obstacle that caused people to stumble, he chose to be a stone upon which people could step. Put your head between your legs. The Lord must be happy. He chose to be a stone on which they could step. Because they never, understand this, the church at Corinth never received this man's ministry. The dude that founded the church, the dude that would work all day, the dude that did whatever it could to get the word out, they never really received his ministry. Because listen to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14 through 15. This was his life when he was there. And not only that, this is what he dealt with on a regular basis from these guys. Non-acceptance. Who likes to not be accepted? Bummer. He said this, "Now for a third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For children are to lay up for their parents, but parents for their children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love, the less I'm loved." I think that's one of the most heartbreaking verses in the Bible. It's heartbreaking. But you see his heart. You see his heart. So let's close with this on our hearts. Let's remember one day that we too, like Paul, were on our road to Damascus, doing our own thing, living our own way. And if we're saved here, the day our Lord Jesus Christ met us in an incredible way. He opened our eyes, He unstopped our ears, and our life was forever changed. It was forever altered. You know the first thing Paul said after he got saved? Okay, after he got saved, he said, "What must I do?" After he met Jesus. Jesus said, "Go into the city." Okay. At this point, he's blind. This is what Paul said about himself. And I think it's a strong statement about himself. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 through 17. "I thank Christ our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, who I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever. Amen." He met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He changed his life. And you know what, man? He went for it. He didn't phone it in. I think he made the most with what the Lord gave him. And he did some serious damage for the kingdom. Because why? He just simply decided to take a step back from himself and decided to make his life about the kingdom of God. Man, that's what we're celebrating if you think about it. Come on. That we've been given this incredible, incredible, incredible gift. We're saved. We've been given eternal life. It's going to, a blink of an eye, fellas. Let's run with it. Let's don't phone it in. Every one of us in here has been called into the ministry if you're a Christian, because you're part of the body of Christ. And the Lord has a unique ministry for everyone in this room. Not everyone's a mouth. Some folks are toes. Some people's are legs. Some folks are legs or knees or ears or eyes or nose or lips or teeth or whatever. Just do it. Go for it. I'm going to close with one more story and then we're going to celebrate communion. You guys know who Marcus Dupree is? Probably not. You do. Well, praise God. He was a running back in the early 80s in high school. The dude was a beast. And he was heavily recruited. He was the number one recruit in the nation. Anyway, he ends up going to Oklahoma City. And as a freshman, run ramshot over everything. But here's the thing. He never lived up to his potential. Never did. He never made the most with what was given to him. And I find that very sad. But so many times also I see within the body of Christ, I see within myself, just kind of plugging along instead of diving in. Let's celebrate the Lord. But let's get kick-started again for wherever the Lord has placed us, whether it's in our families, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's on our campus, that we'd be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit to share the good news. Leading of the Holy Spirit to share the good news. Leading of the Holy Spirit to share the good news. Leading of the Holy Spirit to share the good news. Leading of the Holy Spirit to share.